My thoughts mainly have just been in our meeting this morning about the King of Glory, the Lord of Glory, and the fact that it would be lovely, wouldn't it, if we just went from this place and thought about Him still as the Lord of Glory, the King of Glory, and continue to rejoice and glory in His name. You know, we get lots of exhortation and encouragement and things like that. But I think that if we go away perhaps with that thought this morning, that we have come to worship the King of Glory, the Lord of Glory, and just who He is, that in itself will give encouragement to our hearts. That in itself will exhort us. That will in itself will talk to our hearts and lead us to worship Him and to praise Him and to live for Him. And I was just thinking about the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. This morning in our Sunday school lessons, we had the lesson on prayer. And we never touched on this, of course, but we were thinking of the prayer in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, when the Lord taught His disciples to pray. And we had some thoughts there from the little ones. But this morning, here the Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel chapter 17, it says that Christ prays for Himself. And as we've been thinking this morning, and you know, when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ and the things that He's done and accomplished for you and me, and I've been thinking a little bit about some of the things that people do around and about us, and you know what a big splash they make when they're about to do something, and of course the world gets to know about it, and there's a big advertisement or there's a big noise made about it. But you know, as some of the thoughts that have been going through my mind about our glorious Lord and Savior and the things that He has done for us, when we think about creation, for example's sake, at the beginning when He created the worlds, and you know, when men invent things today, of course there is a big, how should I say, noise about it, what they've discovered, what they've done, what they've invented. And you know, sadly sometimes their inventions come to an end, don't they? And a very sad situation when we think of that situation with the Concorde, for example's sake, when men invented this vehicle, this plane that could get to one from one point to the other in no time, and a comment that was made on the news that this is the queen of the British fleet, the Concorde, and they took such delight in it. But there, something went wrong, and disaster. And now we find that, you know, they have sort of said, well, we'll have to shelve our plans on that until everything's cleared. But you know, when God does something, we know that it's going to succeed, don't we? We know that it is forever. We know when God does something, even in the situation as far as our salvation is concerned, we know that our salvation is assured. We know that our names are recorded in heaven's book of life because it was a glorious work that He had done. The Lord of Glory. So when He created the world, there it was. And I think it was a little while ago, I was just sort of reading something, and this person was saying how that when God created the world, there wasn't all this drama there, but He created and He just spoke the word. And it was so. He just gently, with His glorious voice, spoke the word, and it was so. And when whatever He done as He went around, we find even when He spoke to Mary in that garden when he arose, He spoke her name, that the glorious voice, not a shout, not a loud announcement, Mary, it's me, here I am, I've risen, but just that gentle voice. He sort of spoke her name, and she recognized, and she was absolutely overwhelmed. And we find as we read things about what God has done in many places, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, even when he was born in the manger. There he was in this humble stable. And, it was the shepherds that came around and they announced him. And they said, "Glory be to God on earth." And there was this humble babe, this baby in this humble manger. And we find that what an impression it made on those around and about. And then as our Lord Jesus Christ walked amongst men, he displayed himself. He never went around trying to, there were kings of old. When we think of the kings of old, you know, and how they compared themselves with one another. Look at Solomon, for example. So just a little thought that comes to mind. And they compared themselves with their wealth and their riches and everything. And then the Queen of Sheba came, and when she saw, of course, she thought she was pretty wealthy herself, but when she saw the wealth of Solomon, of course she said, "Ooh, the half has not been told, you know, about this man's wealth." But you know, there was our King of Glory. He came from heaven. He came from heaven. He just owned everything. But he came into this humble earth. He came into this humble stable. Never compared himself as far as wealth was concerned and all that. He had no place to lay his head. The foxes and birds have holes and have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you know something? That was our glorious Lord. And then when he died on that cross, it was a cruel death, as we have heard. It was a cruel death. But it was an all-atoning death. It was a glorious death, wasn't it? Because it brought salvation to you and it brought salvation to me. And oh, how wonderful, even as our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came from that scene and he walked with those two men on the road to Emmaus, and he spoke with them. And you know how they didn't know who he was. They confessed it afterwards, of course, when he had disappeared out of their sight. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us on the way?" Glorious words which he spoke to them. The glorious manner in which he said it. And what encouragement that was to them after he had left them. And then, of course, we find that when our Lord Jesus Christ went back up into heaven, there we find, you know, it wasn't something that was splashed all around the place. Come to this particular spot, and today you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ ascend back up into heaven. But there he was with the 12 disciples on the mountain there, and then slowly he just went. And, of course, it was the angel who came as the men stood there, and he said, "Look, why stand he gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus will so come again, in like manner as he has seen him go up into heaven." He went back to his Father's house, back into glory, the King of Glory. And you know, if we think of those aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ as we've started this morning, we can just rejoice, we can just shout, "Praise the Lord, what a glorious Savior we have." And then, with all that just in the background, I'd like to just read through these verses here and see even here how the Lord includes us in his prayer. John chapter 17 and verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." What a prayer. And you know something? His mind was always set on glorifying the Father. "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And you know, if we ask God to in our lives help us to glorify him, or to use what he has done in our lives to glorify him, how wonderful won't that be? Because we glorify him and we glorify the Father. glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify him, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And isn't that wonderful? You and I this morning, we have eternal life because of our glorious Lord. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, you know, when we look around about us and we see people worshipping various things, various different idols and things like that, we feel for them, don't we? Because, you know, there's so much allowances being made in the world today, whether it be in the schools or wherever it might be, for different religions. We must think of people's religions. And sad to say that even in our schools sometimes the Lord is not given the right place. Other religions seem to get more of an advertisement. But we can say this morning, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And didn't the centurion say at the cross there, when our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, "Truly, this is the Son of God, and you and I, we know him by salvation. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Isn't that wonderful? Our salvation is complete. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And there, that gives us a little bit of a reminder that I may glorify thee with the glory which I had before the world was. Doesn't that remind us again of where our Lord Jesus Christ was and to where he came? For you and for I. "I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." And isn't that wonderful? Here, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking about you and I as well. The fact that we have trusted him as our own and personal Savior and believed in him. But now listen to this. He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine." Isn't that wonderful to know this morning that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Lord that we've come to remember this morning? "And all are mine and thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Now isn't that wonderful? Our Lord Jesus Christ has gone all the way to Calvary's cross. He's died in your room instead and mine. He's ascended. He's going to ascend. And he's ascended back into glory. But here, he prays for you and I. And you know, if we continually remember that the Lord Jesus Christ himself holds us before his Father, presents us before him in prayer that we may be kept and that we may be a testimony for him. Doesn't that encourage our hearts? You know, it's sometimes wonderful, isn't it, when I just mentioned this, perhaps we had a notice of a family member. This just comes to mind. During the week, one of Nancy's family members up in Queensland has gone through a very serious operation. But there was not much communication between us anyway. But that family, in fact, their little children came to this Sunday school here many years when they were very young. And they are grown up now, but the parents have moved away. And when we got to hear about the situation, we sent them up some flowers and things like that. And I think the fact that we had thought about them, and just a bit of encouragement to us. And I think sometimes we may fail in this area. You know, we mean to do it, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes it gets too late. Where we remember someone, perhaps just by sending a card or doing something, to know that we are thinking about them. And of course, we have been on the phone ever since. And the fact that we were able to communicate about the love of God and what he can do. But the fact is that to remember someone, when I get something, maybe it's a card or something, oh gee, isn't that great, I haven't heard from this person for a while, but they remembered me, and isn't that terrific? And we get excited about that, don't we, when especially we hear from someone whom we'd forgotten about. Not so long ago, in fact during this week, somebody said to my son, said, oh yeah, I know your father very well. And it's somebody connected with the meetings, somebody in the assemblies. And this person said, oh yeah, I know your dad very well. And I thought, oh gee, that's very nice, and because I couldn't remember all that well. But it is good to hear that this person remembered me anyway. But you know how wonderful, just to come back here, that the Lord Jesus Christ remembers you and me. Since the day we put our faith and trust in him, he remembers us in prayer. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And isn't it wonderful that as we think of it, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to reveal the Father to men and to women. And he did that in a wonderful way. But you know something? He's passed that on to you and me. He's passed that on to you and me. And I think there's a chorus that goes something like this. May others see Jesus in me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be in one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and thou hast known that thou hast, and hast known, these have known that I, thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful prayer. And you know, if we can just go away with that this morning and think of our glorious Lord and think of the fact that we have been engaged this morning with the one glorious Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. To him thy voice from out the cloud once spake thy deep, thy full delight, and now without a veil to shroud, in him shines forth thy glory bright. May the Lord just bless the reading of these words to our hearts for his name's sake.